Welcome to the Beloved Community, every second Friday at 9 a.m. on KBOO. Resources for Activism, I'm John Schuck. In August of 2016, KBOO completed its strategic plan for 2017 to 2020. Here's its vision. KBOO's vision for 2017 to 2020 is to become Oregon's community media hub, leveraging the power of the airwaves to support a revolution for a just and sustainable future. We will achieve this through the pursuit of three strategic goals. By 2020, KBOO has deepened its internal and external connections to build the beloved community. That's the first bullet point. What is the beloved community? What does it mean to build it? Today, I have conversations with four staff members at KBOO to talk about the beloved community and what that means. Delphine Crescenzo and Gil Cardone are station co-managers who were hired in this role in February. I'm going to speak with each of them. Ani Haynes has been the volunteer coordinator at KBOO for many years. I speak with her, as well as Aaron Yankee, who is the program director at KBOO. On today's Beloved Community, you'll hear from members of your staff at KBOO who are working toward building the Beloved Community in their own sphere of influence, but it's a partnership effort. Let's start with Aaron. Aaron Yankee, welcome.
Thanks, John.
Your role as program director is mostly for the music of the station, is that right?
Right. The program director officially is in charge of everything that goes on the air.
Okay.
But if you just even think about that for a minute, you're like, that's impossible. So we have it split up between Zelis Marchant, who does the PM news and public affairs, and Derek Crooks, who does the morning news and public affairs. And then I work with the mostly music programmers and like kind of the hybrid music culture programs on the weekends and other than those specific times.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been the program director for about 5 years.
Now, one of the strategic plans here is this beloved community. And I'm wondering how that affects you in programming.
That's a great question. There's a lot of different ways. The kind of the obvious is that it affects what we actually put out over the air in our programming. And that gets addressed in our program charter, filling needs that other media don't. We're covering a wide spectrum of expression from traditional to experimental, reflecting the diverse cultures that we serve. People representing and speaking for themselves in news and public affairs and cultural programming and music. So that's kind of the main way that the beloved community fits the external programming. But then internally is just how we actually get along and relate to each other. It's always been a very much of a crossroads and a cross-pollination kind of a place. And I think doing the beloved community work as things get more extreme outside of the building with politics and hatred, and that we not only just have this as a casual sanctuary, but an actual place of sanctuary, of being able to speak for yourself, of being able to be truly included and not just have it kind of be a default white culture, dominant culture place. If you don't work on something, then it's just going to default to majority culture if you don't think about
it. It's not enough just to say, oh, well, let's all get along. When we make a commitment to be a beloved community that is intentionally diverse, that takes work.
Right. I have been lucky to be a white person in a mixed race family, so that I have had experience of thinking about people who are not white being able to actually be truly belonging. To see an institution make steps towards that, that involves like dear majority culture, white people, men, abled people, etc., like you may have to give up, or you will have to give up some privilege. There will be some discomfort in this, and we're going to help you get through it just as much as we're going to help other folks who are people of color or female identified or differently abled also feel comfortable here learning equipment and learning radio.
And that's one of the goals, is to increase the variety of programming and to increase the variety of voices on air.
Right, because the variety of voices of our community are increasing. That is our job as the community station is to reflect that and not just have someone, whoever has the most money, to come down and plop down and be like, I want prime time, drive time 4 to 6, so move all those other people out of the way because I have the biggest checkbook.
How does a program get on the air? If folks are listening, hey, I've got something to bring.
The first thing you should do is go to a volunteer orientation because that's where everything kind of starts. And then depending on what your program is, it can be immediately, you can create it as a podcast. That's how you started,
right,
with your show,
mm-hmm,
as being a podcast, and now you're on the air. So it just kind of depends on what your show is about, because we have, you know, there's all the space that we need for everything on the internet, on our website, and on our second stream that we'll be developing in the next 6 months or so. So that you can just also have it streaming kind of in the background and you don't have to do that self-selection. But for on the air, there's different programs have different program openings. You know, right now I have a 3 to 5:30 in the morning program opening. So that's like eclectic late night music stuff.
One of the objectives of the strategic goal is to significantly increase the amount of programming. How specifically is that intention met?
That is the objective for 2020. So what we're doing right now is getting our systems of evaluation in process. So that's kind of a longer term goal of like, what actually is our programming? What needs is it being met? Because you can look at a program on paper and without listening to it and really evaluating it, you're like, oh, it is meeting these needs of these community, or it is meeting, you know, this community is very interested in it in a way that you wouldn't necessarily see it just on paper. So there's a lot of just listening and evaluation stuff and knowing where we are before we figure out where we're going.
Erin Yankee is my guest on The Beloved Community. And one of the things you work with, Erin, is with the youth and the youth collective. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. They're so great. We have a youth collective that meets weekly and they're on the air twice a month. They have one music show that's on the second Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. And then they have a public affairs show that's on the fourth Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. And the music show, we just kind of have people who are interested in music come down and play music. And that has been going on long enough where I am here, but the kids really teach each other how to do it. And they've got it down now. So it's really great for me to just hang out and listen. And it's neat because they'll play stuff that maybe I think is overplayed or that I've heard too much in my life, but they're young, they're fresh, they're coming to it. So it's not some classic rock dinosaur song. They're like, I love this song. And then they'll mix it in with, there's, you know, just the genres of my childhood. And I think the way that I was thinking about music for a long time, there really aren't genres. People are not like, I'm just a heavy metal kid and that's all I care about. They're very wide ranging.
It's very eclectic, isn't it? And
very
mixed.
Very eclectic, yeah. So that's really cool with the music show. And then the public affairs show, they vote on a theme or topic and then do pieces around that. So they had last night they had a show about music. And so a lot of them like played their own music that they'd written or they did or talked about music. We also had a kid do like a jazz in civil rights. So he talked about Nina Simone and Mingus was the other song or the other artist that he talked about. They're doing their show next time for the membership drive is like cheese and cheesiness. So, but someone's like, oh, I know someone who tastes cheese at the Tillamook Cheese Factory. And I know this person as a works at the New Seasons as a manager. And then they're also just going to pick cheesy songs and then just sing karaoke to them on the radio, which is always really fun to listen to. So it's just like, we meet once a week on Wednesdays and we have snacks. And then I just get to watch their minds go all over the place in ways that are just stunning and incredible.
And if youth might be listening, how would they get involved if they wished?
You can just come to a meeting on Wednesdays at 6 and check us out. My email is program@kbu.org, so you can also just write and tell me you're coming or if you have any questions. But we really just have people come down, check it out, see if it's a good fit. And then if they come back the second time, we're like, great, you're in. Awesome.
All right.
And then train them from there.
This is the Beloved Community on KBOO. This is our spring membership drive. KBOO is not just a radio station. It is a media hub that is leveraging the power of the airwaves to support a revolution for a just and sustainable future. KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, and station co-managers Gil Cardone and Delphine Crescenza will discuss how KBOO is deepening its internal and external connections to build the beloved community. Delphine Crescenza, along with Gil Cardone, are the new station co-managers at KBOO. Here's a chance to hear from them. Welcome, Del.
Thank you, John, for having me.
I'm glad you're here. You are one of the first people I met when I came to KBOO. You taught me how to do the editing system. And I took the oppression training, the Beloved Community oppression training from you. Tell me about that.
For a very long time at KBOO, we have been wanting to ensure that all the folks that walk into KBOO and that want to use this community resource feel like that's a place for them. And unfortunately, throughout the years, we've gotten, you know, some feedback that it actually is not the case for lots of folks. Some people come here and they don't feel like this is a place for them to be and stay, even though they love it. They want to be able to participate, have access. But around the culture, there were some things that were really difficult for them. People of color, women, people with disabilities or different abilities, all kinds of stories have come up over the years. And I think that because of what our mission is to really prioritize the voices of oppressed and underserved communities, when Mike and Monica, Mike Crenshaw and Monica Beamer started working at KBOO station co-managers, that was about 3-4 years ago, they brought with them the desire to take those conversations a little bit deeper, especially with staff and board, so that a true culture change could happen and more folks could contribute, could take advantage of the community resource we have here at KBOO. And so they started with trainings that were quarterly for staff and board around understanding what is racism, how does it work at KBOO, how does that affect us, what's sexism, how does it show up at KBOO, what can we do about it, same for ableism, classism. And out of those conversations, because especially we were talking about not in theory or what happens out there, but we were talking very concretely, this is how it shows up at KBOO, and this is how it's hurting our community, and we must do something about it. People who were part of those trainings felt that they wanted to carry those ideas forward and actually bring change. So from those trainings then started a monthly discussion group that has been meeting now ongoing for 2 years, which is kind of amazing. So every month we meet, and we are both a study and action group. So we study a concept, and we practice interrupting. We practice taking accountability when people tell us we've said something that wasn't cool. And after a while, this particular group had the desire to take it to the broader volunteer base, you know, and that's when we created the Beloved Community 101. And it really looks at oppression in context. We look at the history of Oregon. We look at the fact that the state was created as a free state, for example, not because people were against the institution of slavery, but because they did not want any Black people to be in the area. And so so we really ground ourselves in the history of what's happening here and look at, you know, and it's still continuing today. There is Measure 11 and there are, you know, really lots of issues with our youth, especially youth of color in school and, you know, discrepancies around housing, education, all of these things. And people are receptive to that because very often we talk about oppression and we talk about how people are suffering from them today. But we rarely actually look back and say, well, what we have today is actually we are inheriting something that has been in the making for years and years and years. And unless we understand that perspective, then we're not going to be able to understand really what's happening here.
And when you do, and this is some beloved community 101 and this training, this is open, not only open for all volunteers, but it's expected that volunteers will take this?
Yeah, we have made it mandatory for certain volunteers, especially the volunteers that are receptionists that help with supervising during our membership drives, volunteers that also are trainers, but also we've made it mandatory for all on-air programmers, because that's the main way through which a lot of communications happen, and we wanted to make sure that folks were also aware that their programming also needed to be, kind of relevant according to the Beloved Community guidelines.
The curriculum for the Beloved Community 101, where does that come from?
And so some of it came from conversations that the group, the monthly conversation group had been having. So some of the curriculum we used from that was things that we studied. Some of it was from prior trainers that had come and trained board and stuff, as I said, in earlier stages. Some of it was also brought up by Celeste Carey, who has been co-facilitating that training, that workshop with me.
She does that Monday morning show at 8.
Yeah, absolutely. Monday Talk Radio. And also she does the evening of Afrotainment at 6 p.m. on 7 p.m. actually on Saturdays evening. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Celeste Carey also has been really involved with KBOO for a very long time and also has supported with a People of Color Caucus and has supported with KBOO institutionally making changes. So she was also very instrumental with us coming together and brought also she works for the city and has also gone through a lot of different equity, diversity training. Many of them she's also taught herself, and so she also brought some relevant pieces. So most of the curriculum that we use are things that are also available online, for free tools. We also have a resource area where we actually hang a lot of those handouts that people can grab and use. But also some of the content, it was really created by the volunteers. So for example, we have a whole section which is what prevents you from interrupting oppressions. And that's all crowdsourced from all the different workshops that we've done and conversations that we've had with volunteers. What prevents you from interrupting oppression and what actually helps you or makes you feel supported. And so here is an opportunity where we are learning also from everybody's experiences. Celeste also came up with some amazing activities to help people really understand not just all of our connections with each other, but also understand our privileges in a much more complex way, which is not just about the fact that, because I'm a white person, I have white privilege, but it also is that, I'm not just a white person. I'm also someone who, is a woman. I'm also someone who has, maybe a spiritual life. I'm also someone who has, all of these different experiences and identities. Some of them are also oppressed and some of them are more privileged positions. But so through understanding this, people feel like there's more opportunities for finding, common ground, especially here at KBOO. That's kind of what we want. But I think that also the crucial question that we ask next is, what do you do with this privilege? Once you understand, then, that's when the conversations become really rich. And then that's also the part of the training when we move, or the workshop. I like to rather call it a workshop because I feel we built on and change it all the time based on what people provide. But then there's the part of the workshop where we actually talk about interrupting and we practice and we look at different strategies and we enter into scenarios and people are more or less comfortable role-playing, but it doesn't really matter whether you want to get in character. It's just about like, hey, if you were in this situation, why would you say to stop it? And so that's a very important piece. The other piece that we ask people is also to take accountability. So we also ask people to be able to hear someone out who's telling them that they just said something or did something that was painful and be able to take accountability for that. And that's hard at times.
Delphine Crescenzo has been my guest on The Beloved Community, helping us explain what The Beloved Community is and how we can be a part of it, how we can continue to work for it, train each other for it, bring what we have, our gifts, our challenges, our questions, and our self-reflection at our shortcomings, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it really is. It's about understanding how we've been programmed, how the media out there, and we are a media organization, which is why also it's super important that we look at it and why we are wanting to train our programmers, but understand how this programming is affecting us, all of us, in way more negative ways than positive at this point, and that if all of us put efforts forward, real change can come. And it's coming here at KBOO.
There you go. Del, thank you so much for your work on this and at KBOO.
Thank you, John.
This is one of the best vision statements I've read about an organization. KBOO's vision statement. Check out point one. KBOO fearlessly strives to deliver powerfully just, lovingly eclectic, vibrantly provocative grassroots content while honoring our growing radical revolutionary legacy. You just want to sign right up. I mean it. After these fine folks tell you all about how you can partner with KBOO in the revolution, I'm going to speak with Gil Cardone, our new station co-manager. This is The Beloved Community. I'm John Schock. The strategic vision for KBOO for the next 3 years includes deepening its internal and external connections to build the beloved community. I'm John Schock, and I'm speaking with Gil Cardone, who, along with Delphine Crescenzo, are our new station co-managers. Welcome, Gil.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
You are the co-station manager. Been here since what, February?
Yes, February 1st.
How's it going?
It's very busy, as you can imagine. Came into a time, an era of KBOO where we're preparing for the 50th anniversary, as you know, coming up in 2018. I believe it's June 3rd is the official anniversary. So getting prepped up for that, lots of events coming up and things to prepare for, so it's going to be fun.
All right. And you formerly served on the board here at KBOO, so and had been volunteering here for some time? Or
that's right. So I started volunteering, it's about 3 years ago now. I moved from New York City and wanted to get involved. I like to volunteer wherever I move to get involved with the community and find out more about the arts and culture, and KBOO was perfect for me. And then I joined about a year later. I joined the board and served on the board for 1 year.
Okay. So, talk about KBOO. How did you happen to find this position and find it connecting to your interests and skills and everything?
Well, you know, moving from New York City, which is, as everybody knows, it's quite a diverse environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so in addition to, you know, trying to meet people and making friends, I'm always looking for the communities that have that diversity and also that are very welcoming, which KBOO was to me. And so I saw that, you know, there's many faces, many people from many backgrounds and all working together. You know, this is, you know, obviously volunteer charged and powered community radio station. And I really like that. I like working as a team with other people. And the fact that KBOO has been around for so long and has had so much success is very appealing to me. And then from my own personal background, I'm an artist. I've been playing music since I was 9. I played trumpet, trombone, piano, guitar. So music, being around music is just, you know, it's in my heart. So it felt very comfortable and very natural to come to KBOO.
So do you like the idea of being a co-manager? Is that a great thing? You're working with Del?
Del's fantastic. She's mm-hmm. amazing. Actually, speaking of which, in the room we're in right now is where I had my first audio training, and Del was my first trainer.
So same for me.
Really?
Well, that's
there you
right.
go. She's really amazing, has so many skills, and I respect her very much. So when she invited me to apply as co-manager, it was a no-brainer. I knew, you know, I think we shared the same vision. We had many talks. We shared on the served on the board together. And we know all the things that KBOO has accomplished thus far, and we also see what the potential is going forward. and sharing that vision and working together has been really great so far.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that that vision. I'm speaking with Gil Cardone. He's a station co-manager at KBOO, and this is the beloved community, and we're talking about the beloved community itself and the vision of KBOO. Where do you see us going?
Well, again, going back to the point about diversity and community and people from all walks of life, we know that Portland is rapidly growing. This is a greater community. There's folks moving from not just other states, but from all over the world. And in consideration, especially now with the new government administration, there seems to be some tensions between groups of people. So I think, like many other people think in Portland, that KBOO and the mission and goals are even more needed now than ever with respect to the divisions that are going on. And so people want a place to go to where they feel respected, they feel welcomed, they can be themselves, you know, authentically. And I believe those are the things that the beloved community is open to. But yes, there's, you know, everybody is such a unique personality. There's a lot of work to be done. So the beloved community is you know, multifaceted. It invites you to look within yourself and ask you, what are my preconceived notions? What are my assumptions about the people that I'm around, the community that I live in? But then also invites the outside community to say, don't make assumptions about me. Try to get to know me first before, you know, you start, you know, building a critique or, you know, your basically how you're going to view me, what lens you're going to see me through.
So it's interesting, really, as KBOO is kind of undergoing its the beloved community challenge and being within its own community of volunteers here, but also in the larger city, there is a message for needing to be the beloved community of diversity, of social justice, of the voice for the oppressed.
That's absolutely right. And I thought it was very interesting because, as I mentioned, Dell and I started February 1st, and it was like a week before, you know, a membership drive. And we noticed that our membership, you know, had increased. You know, this was, you know, just a month after our current president was, you know, officially inaugurated.
Right.
So I think people do see that in the greater community need for all voices to be heard, not just a select few. And KBOO being such a prominent, you know, channel for getting people's voices out, literally, you know, we're on the microphone now. It serves such a greater purpose, I think, for the community at large. And, you know, we've been expanding. You know, we now have an app for, you know, your mobile phone. So we're able to reach folks, you know, across the nation and around the world.
Right, right. Any other things about that you think about in regards to KBOO and what we're doing and our importance here?
I feel very fortunate. You know, while I was on the board for that 1 year, we worked very vigorously on a strategic plan for the next 3 years.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So the beloved community is actually objective number one. We believe that's part of the foundation of KBOO, and it's going to help to build for the future and hopefully be around for another 50 years. So we've outlined specific objectives and strategies, how we're going to reach them. Outreach to, you know, people of color, having more people of color in, you know, decision-making positions, bring in youth of color, get them more involved. You know, like I said, we have various trainings here and various support groups, and just more outreach to the community. And like I said, just kind of start breaking down those assumptions that I think we all have. I think people often use the word microaggressions, things that maybe we do or say or how we act when we're around people that are unfamiliar to us and we're acting a certain way that, you know, it's maybe out of fear or out of the unknown. And we kind of want to break that down and say, you know, we're here together to reach the same mission.
Well, you know, Portland has a history of racism, of often joked as being called Whitelandia, the largest. And it has its challenges right now. As you mentioned, it's growing, but it's growing in certain ways. Gentrification, yes. Displacement. And so those are issues that KBOO, I don't know if it can take on the giant itself, but is part of that, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, KBOO, another thing that KBOO stands for is sort of like the not very capitalist, let's say,
uh-huh.
Maybe the opposite. So, yeah, those things come into play. Again, you know, folks coming in from other states and they're gentrifying, you know, various parts of Portland, even outside of Portland. You know, I'm living out in Beaverton Hillsborough area, and you see the housing market going out there.
Right.
So it's really amazing. But at the same time, it brings an interesting element because the some of these big corporations like Intel or you know, Google's here now downtown, and, you know, we have large retail stores like Columbia and Nike out west. But it's bringing actually an international population. You know, the staffing is largely, you know, from, you know, the East Asia or Asian continent. And that's a good thing, I think. So mm-hmm. That's the positive side, let's say,
right,
to the expansion of the demographics.
All right. Gil Cardone, thanks for being with me.
Thank you, John.
The beloved community wouldn't be the same without you. Volunteer coordinator Ani Haynes is up next to talk about how volunteers are the heart of the beloved community on KBOO. On today's Beloved Community, I'm speaking with KBOO staff members about how KBOO is building the Beloved Community both internally and externally. That is, both within the station's environment and in the communities that we serve. And I'm speaking with Ani Haynes, volunteer coordinator at KBOO. Welcome, Ani.
Thank you, John.
You were the first friendly face I met when I came to KBOO about 2 years ago now and volunteering as volunteer coordinator. You have met a number of people over the years.
Yeah, quite a few. I would say on average, we have probably 20, a little bit more maybe, new people every month coming in and checking out the station in one capacity or another, thinking that they want to be involved. And so I've had the pleasure of meeting so many new people, many of them just sort of satisfying their curiosity about what KBOO is, what radio is, and maybe not having a deeper idea. And it's always exciting to get to try to bring them that awareness and see if this is going to be the place that they feel at home, that they feel like this is what they've been looking for.
So you do about, like you say, about 20 a month. So you have volunteer orientations mm-hmm. once a month or more often than that?
Usually once a month. And about usually, you know, like I said, around 20 people or so come. And then I meet with everyone individually so that we can make sure that we're on the same page in terms of what their goals are, what they want to do with the station, how they want to interact with the community, and so that they really understand that at our heart, at our core, is radical inclusivity, that we are here to be a community broadcast outlet for communities that need to use us. We don't belong to any one community, and there's no, one acceptable way of being here because, we want people to be their authentic and full selves because that's how we are actually representing our communities and creating this shared space together.
Yeah. And when people volunteer here, it isn't just being on the radio, although it might include that, but it's a lot of ways that people can volunteer.
Absolutely. We have probably about 180 or so people on the air in some regular capacity. We have about 500 volunteers in the community that do anything from coming in to answer the phones during the membership drives maybe twice a year to helping us with all of the outreach and festival activities throughout the summer to actually learning how to do investigative reporting or serving on advisory committees and governing the station and steering us in good directions. There's so many ways to be involved. Building maintenance. We have people that come in and get really excited to help the physical buildings stay together and be well taken care of.
One of the neatest things I think about KBOO is it's all of its various educational programs, teaching people how to do all kinds of things, from editing to social media to it's really a life skill building place as well.
Absolutely. And I've had a lot of people come in who have participated in college radio and have done the coursework. They might know how to work a soundboard, but they've never had the creative free rein to actually develop a program that is going to feel satisfying to them. And they haven't been able to experiment. They've only been able to do their coursework like it was taught and to watch them sort of blossom in that environment of freedom is very, it's just a wonderful thing to watch.
I'm speaking with Ani Haynes. She's the volunteer coordinator at KBOO. And you've been doing this position for how long?
Almost 17 years.
17 years. All right. And so now we have a strategic plan for KBOO. By 2020, KBOO has deepened its internal and external connections to build the beloved community. And there are objectives and actions and success metrics involved in all of that. Tell me a little bit what you think is your vision of the beloved community and how that plays out in terms of the volunteers.
Well, you know, we talk about having a very vibrant, very close volunteer community, and I've always said it takes a strong community to make good community radio. And so we ask people to come in and to actually build authentic relationships with each other, to get to know each other, and that breaks down barriers in so many ways, and it breaks down those preconceived ideas. But we still come in and we still have those preconceived ideas. So a couple years ago, it was a wonderful innovation, an addition to our community to start having monthly get-togethers, reading and discussion groups, study and action, I believe, is now what we're calling it because we wanted to actually do more than study. We wanted to actually use that and put it into practice. And what that group is a group that really looks at how oppression affects us in this society, no matter what skin we're in, what our sexual orientation is, what our, you know, class bracket is. Oppression affects us all. And so we come together, we look at materials that will challenge us, and then we have some really vibrant, very deep discussions, the kind that you always kind of want to have, but you just don't have that group of people you can expose those feelings to and talk about how it feels to be hurt by oppression, how it feels to know that you've hurt others through oppressive behaviors, and to commit to helping each other do better, to holding us to a higher standard in our own behaviors, to practice calling people out in a way that is also compassionate, that is you know, how to do that in a way that A, isn't going to be actually exhausting and putting a heavier burden on people who are experiencing that oppressive behavior. And B, how do we do that in a way that it's going to leave the person who was being oppressive open to being educated about it instead of shut down and turned away? Because, you know, for me, it's really a hearts and minds thing. I don't feel good at the end of the day if I've just had to tell somebody, well, you just can't think that way here and just stop. You know, that doesn't feel good to me. I want to know that person actually understands the ramifications of their behavior and actually is as concerned about it as I am, you know?
Yeah. I took the Beloved Community Training, which is now a thing for all volunteers to do.
Yes. Yeah, so we have two different things that go on. There's a monthly study and action group that is an ongoing voluntary association, you know, and that's on the first Saturday of the month for people who are active within the station. We share food. We have, you know, a really interesting time talking with each other. It's one of my favorite things to do here. Then we also have a monthly training. It's sort of understanding oppressions 101, if you will, and we call that the Beloved Community Training. So that everyone, we realize, you know, just saying, by the way, check your racism, sexism, homophobia at the door doesn't really work. We don't all come into the station with the same awareness and the same tools. And so seeing that there was a gap and, you know, if you just ask almost anyone, they're going to say, I'm not a racist. I'm not sexist. I love everyone. It's fine. But they may actually have parts of themselves that they haven't examined, parts of themselves that they don't realize are really hurtful in their behaviors or in their word choices and how they interact with other communities. And so this monthly, you know, Oppressions 101 training is to try to make sure everyone has a baseline of awareness in how oppressive behaviors work, how to recognize them, and how to interrupt them.
You know, it was fascinating taking that training. It was helpful. There's a whole list of ways in which we are either privileged in some categories and perhaps a minority or oppressed in another. Being a white male, you know, I was on a lot of the privileged parts. And so what that realized for me is that that gives me a limited vision. I don't understand the experience, haven't experienced the experience of people, of the experience of women, of trans people, of people of color. And so I need to have my vision expanded. And that's really, in a sense, a lot of what this is about.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Because we all think that how we move in the world is absolutely normal. This is the way people move in the world. You know, this is everything I know, so it must be true for everyone.
It's the Brady Bunch all the world around.
Exactly. Exactly.
And some of this behavior comes out in a word that many people may not know, microaggressions.
Ah, yes. So that is what I was talking about when I said a lot of people might exhibit this sort of behavior, this sort of language, and not even know that it's hurtful. I'm just trying to compliment people. Mm-hmm. And yet it doesn't feel like a compliment when you're on the receiving end of some of those statements. An example of this would be, there was a interaction between myself and a volunteer as we were listening to a program. It was on the air, and a woman was reading an essay around a migrant experience crossing the border, experiencing sexual assault. It was a very intense, very deep essay. And the man who was a white American born man looks at me and says, "Wow, she talks really good." And he thinks, of course, that he's paying a compliment to this woman who was from Mexico, who is speaking in English on the air. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you realize she's a professor of English? She's a professor. She teaches creative writing at a college." Yeah. "Oh, no, I didn't," you know. And again, so these are assumptions we make about people. And, you know, for this woman to endure, I don't know how many hundreds of times, you know, somebody has come up to her and said, "Wow, you talk real good." You know, that doesn't feel like a compliment after a while. She's like, "Well, I do have a doctorate." Yeah. Fancy that. And I've seen things like that play out over and over again. Of course, that man was not wishing to hurt her. He thought that he was being complimentary, but that compliment was wrapped in so many assumptions. Because I'm a white woman, I can share my experiences of being a woman. I can share my experiences being a queer woman. I was raised working class to poor. I can share all these experiences, but I don't know what it's like to be a person of color. And so I need to hear about those experiences. I don't know what it's like to live with a disability, though I've had close family members that have various, you know, mental illnesses and physical challenges. And so I've learned how to navigate the world with them, but I don't know what that experience is like in and of myself. And so, again, these are the places where I need my vision expanded, because we all, you know, it's, as you were saying earlier, we all have places where we're privileged, and we all have places where we are on the downside of power.
Ani, thank you so much for your work here for such a long time and for being part of the Beloved community here.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you, John.
The Beloved community comes your way every second Friday morning at 9. Resources for activism, resources for building the Beloved community. I'm John Schott. Be well.